Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
You're going to be a football player when you grow up.
This is Raider Nation Radio 920. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, presented by Tequila Embajador.
I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I've been in football all my life.
You absolutely are in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. It's a Raider Nation Radio Wednesday. Lincoln Kennedy, welcome back. The first time that I'm going to talk to you after the events that unfolded on Saturday in Cincinnati. I saw you in the press box. Yep. You know, it was obviously not a good enough day for the Raiders. They lose the ball game. They lose their first playoff game since 2016. But all in all, Lincoln Kennedy, in spite of everything that the Raiders went through this year, I thought by and large on the field, this was a team that took a big step forward. Your thoughts on what we just saw over these last 5 months in terms of the record and the step forward that they took?
Well, if anyone views this past football season as a failure for Raiders, they obviously just don't know football. The fact is the Raiders, you know, had double digit wins, which surpassed even the odds makers, because I think the over and under to start the season was like 7.5.
A fully healthy Raider team. Yeah, you know, yeah, when you're doing the odds, you're thinking everything's going to go good.
Exactly. So, you know, you talk about that, and then you also talk about the fact that they made it to the playoffs, which they hadn't done since 2016. No, it wasn't the outcome that they wanted.
No.
But you can make an argument. Like, you're sitting there, what, fourth down, or, I mean, the last play of the game on the 9-yard line. To go into overtime, you couldn't ask for, again, the cardiac kid struck again because my heart was jumping out my chest again for another game. But I don't think you can really ask for, you know, anything other than, oh, yeah, a win would go on. But this is a satisfying season, in my opinion, for the Raiders, the organization. And I think they're close. There's something definitely to build on.
They fought to the bitter end, and there's something to be said about it. And it wasn't just, oh, they're, you know, I know we were joking around and all that and rightfully calling them the cardiac kids. But I don't feel like they overachieved. I felt like this is where they should be. In fact, you know, there were a couple of games that I thought they should have handled their business a little bit better. And had they would have been in a better position for the playoffs. So I felt like as fun of a ride as it was and as exhilarating as it was at times, the roller coaster that they took everybody on, I still felt like this was legit a 10-win team and probably even a little bit more had they just taken care of business along the way at various turns. So this wasn't something miraculous, Lincoln. This is where they kind of slot. This is where they should be talent-wise.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, that's why you don't take it away and walk away with your head down. I mean, the fact is that when they had that midseason slump, that slide, it was following the same course the previous two seasons, and no one knew how to right the ship. Now, you can make every excuse in the world, you know, for why they're here or why they're there, but they started off so strong, slid a little bit, lost at least three games I think they should not have lost. And then, you know, they found themselves being able to ride the final month of the season, ride a four-game win streak into the playoffs, beat one of their rivals, their division rivals, send them home. And again, you know, it's not the ideal thing where you sit there and go to Cincinnati or play your first game on a Saturday of the first weekend. But the fact is that they were in it to the end. They fought back when you thought they were down by double digits, and they fought back to make the game, you know, less than one touchdown, like a touchdown shy of sending it into overtime. So again, I don't think that you can ask for much better of a season in lieu of all the circumstances and all the things that befuddled this team throughout the season.
No doubt about it. And when you say couldn't find an answer, you're talking about the last couple of years when they kind of fell into that same trap. They did find the answers this year. That's a big step. That said, Lincoln Kennedy, the winds of change are upon us. And I don't think any of us are necessarily surprised at some of the changes that appear to be coming. We already know Mike Mayock was let go yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, 3 years at the helm. You know, it was definitely some hits. No doubt there were some misses, you know, especially at the top of the first round or first round picks that they had the last couple of years. Plus, you had the Trent Brown signing, you know, the Antonio Brown trade. There were Tyrell Williams, LaMarcus Joyner, some misses in free agency, but a fair share of hits as well. We'd be remiss, Lincoln Kennedy, not to say that he didn't do a great job, but he also didn't do an awful job. This team progressed in the 3 years that he was here every single year to the point where this year they made the playoffs. And I've contended all the way throughout that a lot of the moves that he made to help fix the defense. Now, again, you got to give John Gruden credit too. He was part of that decision-making process to go get guys like Denzel Perryman and Casey Hayward, Onyeka Okongwu, the players that made a difference on defense. If we're looking at Mike Mayock's 3 years here, he didn't get the job done as I think he would have hoped, but it wasn't necessarily a bad tenure either.
I think it's also a matter of opinion, because you can sit there and argue about the misses, but what about the ones he did hit on?
Right.
I mean, we found Max Crosby. You know, you know the thing is that
Hunter Renfro.
Yeah, Hunter Renfro. I mean, we can talk, and even John Simpson. You know, from Clemson, played a lot better. You know, Josh Jacobs. You know, we've got a future with Jonathan Abram. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Nate Hobbs.
But my Kevin thing Moore. is the way I looked at it when it happened. I wasn't really surprised. The let go. I honestly, in talking with Mike a couple times this season, I felt for him. I really did.
No doubt about it.
You think about all the things he had to deal with. Look, being a general manager of a professional organization is no easy task. And this is a guy who came from a TV background, who was evaluating talent for the NFL Network and has done a great job for it, you know, while he was doing it. But to make those decisions, those hard decisions, and to you know, listen to your coaching staff and just be he was brought in because Gruden could go tell him, I need a corner, I need such and such, and he would address it. But you look at his tenure, all the things he had to deal with, the missed picks. Obviously, the first round picks are the ones that stand out because those are the ones that are most recognized. But
right.
You know, I would argue with anybody about the other ones, the third to fourth round, fifth round picks, the prizes that we just talked about that he found for this team and their impact on the team. But the fact is, he also had to deal with Antonio Brown. You had to deal with all this other stuff. You know, Trent Brown. I mean, you had to deal with all these other things that you're talking about, these free agent misses. And still be ready to go. And I can only imagine that after Gruden resigned and they announced that, excuse me, that Mayock would 51% of control or whatever like that, I can only imagine that probably changed after the season was over. Because I'm sure Mark Davis and the people around him went back to Mayock and said, okay, we're going to do things a little bit differently. And how do you want to be a part of it? And it's really difficult. It really is. It really is to take a step backwards, because I think they're close. I think the Raiders are close. I really do. They have to fine tune it. I think they need to get a new offensive coordinator. I think they need to get not only with deciding with the head coach. I'd like to see them get a different offensive line coach. These are just my particulars as far as stepping forward. And so I don't know if what do you put first, the carriage or the horse? Who's going to decide a general manager before you decide on the other players or the other coaches, or you going to decide on the head coach? I mean, it's really an auspicious position for them to be in, Mark Davis and the Raiders to be in right now, because they've got they've got some decisions they got to make. So I wasn't really surprised by the Mayock move.
Yeah, and I think to me, you mentioned it, when John Gruden had to resign, I thought that left Mike in a tremendously vulnerable position. Mm-hmm. The very guy that brought him in, handpicked him as his general manager to help him, is no longer there. So, right. If you're Mark Davis and ownership, I mean, you have the right at this point, because of everything that happened, to really kind of reset it now. And you're close. Like you said, you're close. And I don't think this is any sort of a rebuild or anything like that. It's some definitely some tinkering. But I think that it almost behooves Mark at this point and the Raiders to say, we've got a real chance here to take this thing to another level. It wasn't anything that they anticipated. I don't think they planned. Obviously, you don't plan to be in the situation with what happened with John Gruden and now having to replace your head coach and your general manager. But that is the situation. The good news is, and I kind of argued this with some of our callers yesterday, Lincoln, here we go again. Every 4 years, you're in this position. No, this is a completely different position than where the Raiders were in 2018, when it was just desolate and not a lot of talent on this roster. And a rebuild and an overhaul was required for way too many parts of this team. That's not the case anymore, Lincoln. It's a matter now of taking that next step. And I think that it's an exciting time when you think about it. And if I'm Mark Davis and I'm part of the decision-making circle, I want to know from whoever I'm thinking of as this next general manager, what is your plan to get this to the next level as quickly as possible? We don't want to talk about taking any step backs. We don't want to talk about rebuilds or anything like that. What's the plan that you have in place for this roster and to help this roster get to the next level, A? B, what's your plan to make sure that some of the mistakes that happened with those earlier picks doesn't happen in the draft? That's kind of what I want. If I'm Mark Davis, those are the key questions that I have for the general manager position. I kind of have a sneaky suspicion, talking to some people around the league, that maybe the Raiders have a pretty good idea of where they want to go with their head coach. I don't know that for sure. That's just kind of, what's out there in the NFL. Mark Davis and the decision makers can, make a surprise hire. And, maybe that isn't the case. But that's kind of the sense that I get around the NFL. But what if you're in those meetings right now, Lincoln, the Zoom meetings and the interviews that they're going to have with Ed Dobbs, who's the assistant general manager of the Colts, Dave Ziegler, the pro personnel director of the Patriots, Champ Kelly, he's a Bears assistant personnel director, and Trey Brown, who works for the Bengals in their pro personnel department. What are the questions? What are the core questions that you would ask and what answers do you want to hear from the candidates that you would be interviewing for as a general manager?
I think first and foremost, whoever you address as a general, the possible general manager, you have to ask the coach, you have to ask them, are you comfortable with who we have on the staff right now? Because I have an idea that Mark's keeping some of the guys. I'm not going to totally release the entire staff. I don't know which ones it is, but that's first and foremost as far as general managers go. Now, you were talked about the draft picks. Draft picks are hit and miss. They're a hit and miss for everyone, every team. No one ever gets it all right. You can sit there and look at what the Miami Dolphins did, and they're not happy with Tua. Tagovailoa, their quarterback, they're trying to figure out how to get him out of there.
They could have had Justin Herbert.
Well, I mean, they could have.
Yeah,
exactly. So you know, there are people who miss on first rounders all the time. I'm not so much – I'm worried – to your point, I think – I call it a fine-tune. I don't call it overhaul. I call it a fine-tune. As I said earlier, I believe the Raiders are close, and I think they're on the precipice of doing something that hasn't been done here in quite a long time. And the main reason for that is because you now have a defense. So, I would probably look into hiring a general manager and understanding whether or not, hopefully, they can get along with the coaches that I have, and have some idea in my mind where the head coach goes. That would be the first thing that I would try to see and how they would fit. Or how do they see things of personnel on this team? What would you change? If you can give me a quick evaluation, who would you change on this team? Or what would you think about changing? Who would you like to see different on this team? That'd be my idea. More importantly, how much are they to taking input of their coaches and the direction they want to take the team? Because like I said, I believe the Raiders are close. You have to fine tune a couple positions. I would want you to have a plan for the people that I need to resign. You got to come up with a plan for Casey Hayward Jr. I want to sign him long term. You know what I mean? Guys that are on those short contracts. Because I think Mayock did a good job at having those prove it contracts for a lot of veteran players. But now you got to sign them and secure them because, like you said, now the Raiders have a defense. So that's why I say they're close. I mean, there aren't a whole lot of questions for a general manager I have right now, per se. Other than, can you win
with the current quarterback? Can you build a team?
Was that what you asked the general manager?
I would suspect that they're going to ask him what your plan is at quarterback.
Well, yes. I mean, I think that was probably one of them, but I kind of have a feeling they already have a plan for that as well, without a general manager, from everything that I've heard.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that's like, the candidates always ask questions as well, because they're going to want to know, what is your plan at quarterback? Do I have a chance here to redo that position, or are we rolling with this guy? And it'll be interesting to see how those conversations go. Now, I'll say this, Lincoln, for all the sometimes divide that Derek Carr causes among Raider fans, it's very interesting to me, if you talk to people around the league, there's no divide. People that I talk to believe there's no question you can win big with a quarterback like Derek Carr if you put the right pieces around him. He needs to be protected. Well, great. That's what you need to do then. It's like, okay, go fix an offensive line, get a sound running game, and help the quarterback in that regard, because if you do that, he can sit back in the pocket and cut people up. He's good enough in that regard. To me, that would be a kind of a key question that I would want to know from the general manager. And also, if I'm a prospective general manager, to ask them, like, what is the plan at quarterback? Is this who we're rolling with right here? And, I mean, it sounds like you think that they are.
They are what?
Rolling with their quarterback.
Did I say that? No, I didn't say that. I think it's
you
up
were
in the
saying
air.
Something.
No, I mean, look, here's the thing.
Right.
I don't necessarily think that's a question that you would ask for a general manager. I think you would have to decide on a head coach and an offensive philosophy first before you go to that question. Okay? Because I believe a general manager's purpose is to basically take the concerns of the team addressed by the coaching staff.
Right.
If Vinny, if you're my defensive coordinator and I'm your general manager, you come to me and say, Lincoln, I need a rush in. Then I'm going to go out and find in Yannick Ngakoue, who's all of a sudden a free agent who made our team that much better, along with Max Crosby. You see what I'm saying? I'm addressing the needs of the team according to the coaching staff. I'm not taking the liberty of saying something that I believe that, I believe this guy will work for you and pushing him on you, much like the Giants did with Gettleman and Daniel Jones. You see what I'm saying? He pushed his agenda on the coaching staff, and they had to suffer, if I'm not mistaken, when the general manager is. But, instances like that, I think, are counterproductive.
I think you have to be on the same page.
Absolutely.
I would think that whoever the head coach – this is my guess. Whoever they – whatever direction they go in as with the head coach, I think is going to have to be on board with Derek Carr or
have a plan about what if you want to address it, because you have to see if
and when you say addressing it, what you're saying is find somebody better. How are you going to do that?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. There's always rumors floating around, and I think sometimes you have to explore the rumors. If you're possibly excited about, and I'm just going to throw it out there, an Aaron Rodgers or a Russell Wilson, if they're even available, because you don't know, you have to throw your name into the hat.
No doubt about it.
You see what I'm saying? And you have to. It's not a shot at Derek. I think what Derek proved to me this year is that it doesn't have to be a 300-yard game every time. Now that you have a defense, you have a special teams. He's more than capable of managing the clock, managing the field situations. You can sit there and say what you want about the last interception in the season. Man. I didn't have a problem with it. Because rather than – yes, there was a part where Darren Waller was wide open or going to the end zone, but he had his mind made up where he was going to take the stick route right now because he could gun it. Can't gun it at an angle, but he can gun it right straight forward with the angle that he had. And he was putting it between two people. He tried it to play before, and then he missed. He went right back to it, thought he could get it. So I don't have a problem with that. But but there are some times where the inconsistencies catch up to him, and we talked about it throughout the season. I don't want you to be inconsistent. I need you to be consistent. I think there was parts of the season where he was, especially towards the end. He was consistent in the final four games. I didn't have a problem with the way Derek played. I didn't need him to throw 300 yards because the defense kept away into it. They found a way to activate the running game. Special teams was a big part of it. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, it was a complete, as complete a team as we've seen with the that Derek Carr has played with. That's for sure.
Absolutely, without a doubt. So I'm not saying that he's the problem. So, but I do think with the names that are floating out there, and believe me, if you don't have access to those elite names, you don't get rid of your quarterback because there's no one coming out in the draft.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's, but you throw feelers out there, you got to see, because the last thing you want is to not throw a feeler out there and for Aaron Rodgers to go to Denver. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Like if there's a little, I mean, that's you have to be flexible like that, and you have to be honest about it too. And Mike Mayock and John Gruden were always very honest. They're going to look to improve every position, including quarterback. And if that opportunity comes about, then, you know, there's going to be a serious discussion about pulling the trigger on something like that. I don't think that ever changes. You know, but I think you also have to be realistic. And if you're, you know, Mark Davis and the powers that be, the realistic part is, how can we win with this quarterback? What's your plan to enhance what's here?
Well, and I think that's sort of been the way it has been the last 4 or 5 years since Derek has been the quarterback. How can we win? And you're right. Now that you're probably surrounded by the closest thing to the team, you got to fine tune. So that's obviously you got to fine tune. But with the 22nd pick in this year's draft, what do you have? If your perception that you said about the rest of the league is on spot about Derek Carr,
right,
there's some value there.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why you throw your name into the hat with the possibility, like, hey, I'll swap quarterbacks with you and give you my, you know, do whatever I need to do, because, you know, you're not starting over again, but you got to put your name into the hat in the ring for some of those names out there.
Yeah, you do. How realistic that turns out to be, that remains to be seen. A lot has to work for that to sometimes work and come together. But short of that, I think that whoever comes in here as head coach and general manager, it will be probably with the understanding that this is the quarterback that we have for now. Obviously, that can change in the draft. You know, you look at Jim Harbaugh; he had Alex Smith. And they drafted Colin Kaepernick the same year. And the next year, they made the switchover. Something like that could obviously happen as well. Because Derek is just on that one-year contract, and we'll see what happens in terms of any kind of a extension. But you're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM on a Wednesday.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny and Lincoln on the Sam and Ash text line at 69187 or tweet them at Vinny Bonsignore and at LKennedy72. This is In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
All right, Lincoln Kennedy, Bruce Feldman, the great college writer over at The Athletic, my former working place, just reported that sources inside Michigan think Jim Harbaugh would take the Las Vegas Raiders job if offered. In the story, it says that, by the way, he did meet his wife in Las Vegas, so that always helps. She apparently really likes the area, and why wouldn't she like the area here? As a 2-year resident, I love it. I could see why she would. So according to the sources, they also know that Harbaugh can be hard to read. Their hunches could be wrong, but they also know he's never coached anywhere longer than 4 years prior to his 7 years in running in Ann Arbor. Man, Lincoln, time flies, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I read a report that Michigan was on a long-term deal for him to stay, to keep him, because they heard about all the enticement. Let me just say this.
I also heard that there's an offer that's been on his desk for a while. So
So let me just say this about Harbaugh. My opinion, just my opinion. I don't like control freaks. And to me, he is one who's better suited for college. And the reason why I say that is because I've never really appreciated a coach who wears too many hats. I don't like you being part general manager. I don't like you being part offensive coordinator. I don't like you being, you know, part offensive play caller, because I just think it's too hard. To manage the game. Managing a football game is an art, a lost art. Scenario situations have been sort of thrown by the wayside so many times that that guys obviously take it for granted. If you look at the Chargers coaches, what he was doing throughout this season, he lost some games because he was overly arrogant instead of just managing the game the way it should be. But so, you know, I'm careful what I ask for or what you wish for, because to me, Harbaugh is a mayor of Gruden. And if, he comes in, you want to give him the keys to the car like he did, because remember his time in San Francisco with him and Balky, how they knocked heads about certain plays and the way things going, and he wanted to have say over his personnel.
I think there was a little bit more to that, and I think the owner made a huge mistake in siding with the general manager, who's not even there anymore. He's in Jacksonville. And he wasn't an offensive coordinator. He wasn't a defensive coordinator. He was the head coach. Remember, Vic Fangio in San Francisco with him. Greg Roman was his offensive coordinator. I mean, he, a lot like his brother, I think he understands that. And it was success. What they were doing in San Francisco, they were 44-19 now. They went to 3 NFC championship games and a Super Bowl in his 4 years. I don't get it. I mean, could he be difficult to work with? Yes, I've definitely heard that. He could be a grind, but the control part of it, I don't think that I don't see that as a John Gruden type of situation. I think he would be okay with a strong general manager, somebody obviously that he's gonna have to get along with. And there's one of the Ed Dodds from the Colts crossed paths with Jim Harbaugh when they were both in Oakland back in the early 2000s. Jim Harbaugh was a quarterback coach here. Dodge was the. Oh, did you know?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There you go. That's right. Duh. What were your impressions of Jim Harbaugh when he was the quarterback?
Well, back when he was a quarterback's coach, he was a different person than when he was when he became a head coach. Because I remember even after his time at Stanford, he became a little bit of a hard ass. When he became a head coach of the 49ers, I was doing some radio and tried to talk to him a couple times, and he acted like he really didn't know me. And I was like, dude, I was back when you got your start. So, it's just my impression of him. It really is. It might be the way you spoke. It's my impression of him. I think he can be a little bit of a control freak.
I think
that there are guys who are better suited for college than the pros. You know, Chip Kelly is one of those guys. Nick Saban is one of those guys. Urban Meyer, if he ever gets a job again, should be in college, because they need to have that sense of control around their team. And it's different when you're controlling professionals. And I know what you said, what about his time in San Francisco.
It was great.
Of course it was great, because they won football games.
Right.
But at the same time, they knocked heads behind closed doors to where you couldn't come to an agreement, and you had to let one go.
Yeah.
I don't know if that starts again if he comes back into the league.
Yeah, and I think that, all those are valid.
To be fair, Vinny, I didn't mean to cut you off, but to be fair, the Raiders' job is a very sexy job.
Yeah.
It really is. You've got a brand new stadium. Mm-hmm. You've got a team that's pretty much intact. It's not like you have to really, let's say versus the Bears. You got to build some things, because Matt Nagy messed a lot of things up.
Yep.
Even though they've got Justin Fields, they probably could have a promising future. They let so many good players go, and you're still stuck behind the cap with guys like Khalil Mack and everything else, that you don't have a lot of wiggle room. The Raiders are very sexy. You mentioned how much under the salary cap they are, and where they are as a team, already having a quarterback that's in play that you can definitely utilize, and most pieces in play, you just have to find two. It's a very sexy pick.
That's what I've been saying. Yeah, definitely. And I think it would be a very, I think people grow and people learn and people evolve. The John Gruden that was described to me by people that had worked for him, in other places, wasn't the John Gruden that I ended up dealing with. Mm-hmm. Okay. I thought he mellowed a little bit, I'm sure from his Tampa Bay days, and maybe even from your time with him, with the first go around with the Raiders. That sometimes happens. And whatever mistakes might have been made in San Francisco, maybe, Harbaugh has learned from them. There hasn't really been a peep in Michigan. Like, he's been there 7 years. Everyone loves him. Everyone wants to continue to keep him. I actually think that the whole recruiting, I don't know if he really wants all of the power. I think what he would like, if I were him, is somebody that I can trust in that position. And that's where a guy like Dodds, who I'm hearing around the league, is a very, very strong candidate for this job. Somebody that did it in Seattle, helped do some special things in Seattle, obviously has been an assistant general manager, the right-hand man for Chris Ballard with the Indianapolis Colts. That's a pretty good operation over there. Maybe that's what he would need, somebody that he has confidence in, a relationship with, and respect, and lets him basically do his job. Of course, the head coach is going to have some say in the matter. I mean, that's just how that works. But you know, if he can not be the control freak that you're talking about, I think it could work pretty big time here. Because the one thing that, like, again, if I'm Mark Davis, what I want right now, Lincoln, is somebody that has proven that they can do it, that they can get something from A to Z. And he did that with San Francisco. You go look at what he did, what the record was for the 49ers before he got there, immediately before and immediately after. It was horrible. Like, you can make a case where he was a difference maker with the 49ers. Obviously, they had talent, but he was part of that, you know, that decision-making process as well. Right. And can he be quirky? There's no doubt. Everyone that I've ever that I know that has worked with him or covered him or whatever the case might be says that. But, you know, sometimes you have to take something like that if you're going to get the ultimate reward, which is winning and winning a lot. So we'll see. It'll be interesting to see where that all goes. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation listener line. Passionate Raider is on the line. How you doing, Passionate Raider?
All right, Benny. Good. All right, Benny. What's up, Lincoln? What's up, man? Great show tonight, man. You guys are hitting it right on the head, man. I love it, Benny. But, you know, last night, again, I went back again and watched this tape again last night. And I was up pretty late last night rewatching a couple games again, because it made me have to realize, you go look at this team right now, this team has core players in place. Like you said, it's a very attractive job. It has core players. And what I said last night, Vinny, I wasn't meaning like a complete rebuild, blow everything up out of the water. I'm just saying every 4 years, something happens. We're used to it. We're dealing with it. It's not as bad this time. We do understand.
Definitely not as bad.
But after going back and watching this team again, this year, you know, after the Kansas City game, there was a lot of different changes. There was people starting to stand up and talk at press conferences and booths and at practices and groups to where things got different. And I think the reason the defense carried this team to the finish line this year, and it did help with these men in this locker room, this different group of men, did help Derek Carr out a lot.
That's the way it should be.
Hold on, let me finish. But if I'm Mark Davis right now, this is what I'm thinking in my head. I'm looking at this last game in Cincinnati on the road that we should have walked out of there with the W. We should have walked out of there with the W. Our defense literally only gave them one touchdown. We get that whistle call back, they're probably kicking a field goal again. We gave that team one touchdown, 6 points in the second half. Again, from the Washington game to the Bears game to the Giants game, to all of the games that this offense couldn't score. Not blaming it on one person. I'm saying offense couldn't score.
Okay. I appreciate the call, Passionate Raider. I think that, Lincoln, there's ways to fix the offense that don't include just kicking the quarterback to the curb. If you could find a better quarterback, great. Of course. But I think that getting Darren Waller healthy, finding another wide receiver to complement him, and there are wide receivers that will be available in free agency, maybe even in the draft, and fixing the offensive line, specifically over at right tackle, I think that puts the offense in a much better position, even with this quarterback, Lincoln.
Yes, I agree. That's one of those
wounded offense.
Well, I mean, there was, and the fact is that the difference maker was the defense and the special teams. I don't think anyone can argue with that. But because you have a total team effort that you saw in a month, you can build on that. I don't think Derek Carr feels the pressure like he used to of having to go out there and make all the right decisions. So if, like I said again, I don't have a problem with necessarily keeping him if you surround him with the things that you're talking about and you have a much better atmosphere. I think you need a new offensive coordinator. I do. I think that. I think you need a new impression of offense. You've got to do something different. You got to change things around. This team has too many weapons not to find a way to utilize all of them or design packages where you have combo packages where you have, the combo pass go to either Renfro or Waller. And then you mix in Edwards and then you got Zay Jones. I mean, so I think you have to do things like that along with a running game. Yes, you have to fine tune the offensive line. I'm not blaming a quarterback. I just think that if there's a possibility of one of those bigger names out there, and you would look, we're not going to mix words because we already talked about it. If Russell Wilson wants to come to Vegas, I think you put a package on the table.
I agree. But short of that, I'm looking at Devontae Adams. I want a Ja'Marr Chase. I look at some of these wide receivers.
Well, that, I mean, that are you're still not, first of all, yeah, but you're not going to get them with the 22nd pick.
He's a free agent.
Oh, no, no, I'm not. Well, that's different when you're talking about free agents.
I think that, I think there's a couple of good wide receivers out there that will be free agents that are more attainable than maybe what it would take to go get Russell Wilson if he's even available. And I'm not. Russell Wilson, that speaks for itself, as does if Deshaun Watson gets his stuff cleared
up. Legal troubles together, right?
Or if Aaron Rodgers is available. Those are – now we're talking. I'm involved in those conversations.
That's what I'm saying. So,
but I don't know if they are. But well, I do know that Devontae Adams is – like, I know that because
Adams isn't – when did he – the receiver from Green Bay. Yeah. Okay, right.
Yeah, and because I think – I watched that game too a couple of times, the Bengals game, and how many times was Waller, who I don't think was 100%, not even close to being 100% in these last two games. It is what it is, and he and Hunter Renfrow getting bracketed and double covered, and I think the world of Zay Jones. I think they need an upgrade over Zay Jones. I think he's a nice complimentary piece. I think they need to get a stud at that position. And if you get a great wide receiver to offset Hunter Renfrow and to offset Darren Waller, you're going to be in business. I still don't know what to make of Bryan Edwards at this point. Too many drop balls, Lincoln, even in the game against...
Yeah, too inconsistent. I think that if you find a way, I personally would try to see if Zay can play the Z position, Bryan Edwards' position.
And then go get a...
And maybe go get another one. Right. Go get another stud receiver, an X receiver.
And there were drop passes in these last couple of games as well. I mean, so if you could get a difference-making wide receiver, because we saw, again, Ja'Marr Chase, just time after time after time, because he's so good. And that's, to me, the type of player that the Raiders should be looking for. I mean, obviously, he's a generational kind of a guy. But an upgrade at wide receiver, an upgrade at right tackle, keep, obviously, Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow. I think this offense can take another step forward and be kind of like it was last year, scoring 30 points a game. They did do that when they had a healthy Darren Waller good wide receivers. So we'll see. I think it's easier to fix that than it is to go get a great quarterback. But if that's available, you go do it. Paul is on the line. How you doing, Paul?
Hey, Vinny. Hey, Big Link. How you doing?
Hey, what's up? Good.
Long time, first time. Hey, I just wanted to comment on DC and all that. I think Raider fans forget the quarterbacks we had before DC, the Matt Schaubs, the Matt McGloins, and Kyle Boilers and all that stuff. So DC's a middle of the tier quarterback. We know that. So the problem is not DC. The problem is Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. And there's a big talent gap between those two and DC. So if I'm Mark Davis and I'm the new GM or the new head coach, I have to put a 3-year plan in place and figure out what we're going to do in the next 3 or 4 years to close that gap between our quarterback talent that we have.
I agree, but Lincoln, part of that is just building a defense that's going to be able to deal with guys like that. It is what it is. I mean, if you can find somebody better than Justin Herbert and somebody better than Patrick Mahomes, obviously you pursue that. But short of that, the way you handle guys like that is by figuring out a defense or putting together a good enough defense that's going to be able to at least mitigate them, Lincoln.
Well, Gruden's philosophy when he took over was, not trying – well, he wanted a defense, obviously. That's why he went and got Paul Gunther. But he realized that the error in his ways, so that the fact that defense was it took time to catch on, you had to rebuild, it was going to take time. You just wanted to have an offense that could score as many points. So be as prolific an offense as you possibly could. Each year he addressed a need. They addressed a need heavily in the draft. When they needed wide receivers, what'd they do? They went out and picked 4 of them, I think it was, in the draft. So, so we've seen that happen. Much to the callers, and appreciate the phone call, much to the caller's point, you got to have a plan in place. And I think they do have a plan in place. I think they're fine-tuning. The fact is you don't need a quarterback. If you decide that this is what you're going to stay with, You don't need a quarterback. Maybe a change of style, maybe a change of philosophy, maybe a change of pace, maybe do something like that to be a little bit more creative and innovative like you see some of the offenses around him. But you don't need a quarterback. So you're not, the cupboard is not totally bare.
No, you see
what I'm saying? Yeah. It's just whether or not you want to commit franchise dollars, high market dollars, let's face it. If you commit to Derek Carr, you're probably going to have to pay him upwards of $30 million and more a year. That's just a going market for a starting quarterback.
Right.
Okay, so he's not going to take anything less than that. So that's where the decision-making comes in. Yes, you talk about this division. To me, the Broncos are just a quarterback away from being ultra-competitive. I think they've got every other piece part of it. Might need to fine-tune their offensive line, but they're close. They're not a bad football team. You know what the Chargers are. You know what the Chiefs are. They're not going anywhere. So if you want to compete in this division rather than beat up on each other, you know, you got to fine-tune the spots. The quarterback is not a high priority to me right now.
Right. You're in a good position to either stay with it or, you know, if a better
explore
option.
Options. You can always explore options. That's the problem. That's the thing. You know what I mean?
You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio 920 AM on a Wednesday.
No one gets you closer to the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore.
What do you think, Raider Nation? We've all heard the rumors, let's face it. Now a little bit of substance to the rumors, maybe. Anyway, at least from Jim Harbaugh's side of things. Bruce Feldman from The Athletic reporting that there are sources in Michigan, their program, saying that if offered, they'd think that Jim Harbaugh would be interested in the Raiders' job. That's not really a shock, Lincoln. Like you said, this is an attractive job. And, you know, he's getting up there. He's like 58 years old, I think it is, Lincoln. He might be wanting to get back in the NFL for one more chance. And I don't think that he's a Saban or Urban. He doesn't have to prove to anybody that he can win in the NFL. He's already won in the NFL. Like, he was on a historic run with the San Francisco 49ers. Nick Saban never did squat in the pros, except for when he was an assistant coach, and I give him a lot of credit for that. You know, obviously, Urban Meyer didn't do anything in the NFL. Chip Kelly didn't do anything in the NFL, but Jim Harbaugh did. You know, he went from Stanford to the 49ers and got that thing up and running in a hurry. So I think it would be more... This isn't something where I'm going to go try to prove that I could do it in the NFL. I think maybe he might prefer the NFL, Lincoln. Because there's no recruiting.
The recruiting thing is neither here nor there. I mean, because you could sit there and make the argument about, well, how come he was a quarterback guru for so many years and this was the only time they were able to beat Ohio State? So the recruiting thing is not something that bothers me.
Well, I'm talking about like the grind of it.
Well, again, you think the NFL doesn't have a grind? You know,
it's
putting together
definitely a grind.
I mean, the NFL has expanded to year round. There's really no off season, because what you're normally doing, if you have an intact coaching staff, you're either trying to find ways to retool it or realign it. You're in players, you're looking at free agency, scouting. You know, you've got the All-Star games coming up, so they're out there scouting and going through to get ready for the draft. So it's turned into a year round thing. And again, on your point, I think every coach that has that draw, especially the ones I've been around, want to prove that they can do something. Never want to leave a stone unturned.
Right.
The fact that he left the way he did from the 49ers, he left unfinished business. But let's face it, there was, you know, it was his alma mater that came calling, his affinity towards Michigan.
Yep.
You know, and now, you know, he has an affiliation with the Raiders. He started, got his coaching started. He had a personal relationship with Al Davis. So I know, I remember him being at Al Davis's memorial while he was coaching. Again, the Raiders job is a sexy job. But so we have a little bit of a difference of opinion, because I think he is a control freak. You said you don't think he is. And I don't know if you're Mark Davis, what type of questions would you ask him if this was a job that you wanted to go after? Because the last time if he is a control freak, the last time you turned the keys over to a guy, one man show, that was Gruden. And, you know, it has its ups and downs. It didn't translate into the way you wanted to. You might want to find a better way of doing things, or you might want to find a different way of doing things.
Yeah. I would want to know, knowing that he is going to want to have, you know, major say in this, and I'm completely okay with that. I trust him. I trust his talent evaluation based on what he's done everywhere he's been, which is win. And then, especially in the NFL, I trust that he knows what he needs. What
he's only been with one team in the NFL, and the team. Yes, he helped create the Colin Kaepernick. He was innovative. They cut people, but they already had talent on that roster when he took over the 49ers. It wasn't like it was totally devoid. But again, to your point, the Raiders are a sexy team. There are two teams that I would, if I was a head coaching candidate, that I would seriously look at and be enamored with, and that would be the Dolphins and the Raiders, because I think they're close.
Yeah, I think the Vikings are pretty close, but I just don't know.
Kirk Cousins, I'm not sold on that. I think
neither am I.
You have to rebuild, and again, that's, there's trade value probably too, and you've got enough picks collateral that you could probably build something up. But yeah, I'm not in love with Kirk Cousins.
I have there are rumblings out there, by the way, that Jim Harbaugh has been kind of behind the scenes. Assembling a staff, putting feelers out there for a staff.
Wouldn't doubt it.
Vic Fangio.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and Vic Fangio, his defensive coordinator at Stanford, is the defensive coordinator.
That's the thing. Another part of it, and that's the hardest part of it as far as head coach goes. And I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I like Gus Bradley.
I do,
and
too.
And it's not – and to me, it's not fiscally right if you sign a coach – for 1 year that changes your defense, and all of a sudden you bring in another coach who wants to bring in another. That's just wasting money to me. You see what I'm saying?
It is. But if you feel like it's worth it, if you feel like, and maybe somebody like Jim Harbaugh would say, hey, I like Gus Bradley, and I'm completely fine with him being the defensive coordinator. That could happen as well. Now, maybe Gus Bradley doesn't want, to work with Jim Harbaugh. Well, I don't know, right. Any of that, but right. But whoever they choose as the head coach, I do think should have obviously some say in who their staff is going to be.
Certainly, and that's to be expected.
Yeah. Okay, so let's quickly get into real quick. Rich Bisaccia, do you think he should be back?
Yes, and two reasons why. First and foremost, the players have vouched for him, which is huge. Okay, the star players have come to the forefront and spoke up and have supported him. That's big, because when you win over the locker room, you're halfway there. You can get guys to commit and go all out for you, and I think he's shown that, especially. So I think he should be considered. I think he should be a strong candidate. And the second reason, it's smart money. You've signed most of these offensive coaches, including Rich Bisaccia, already to extensions. You don't have to totally overhaul your coaching staff and start over when you're close. I just think if you bring in a new head coach, it's a lot to ask of them to accept the coaching staff that is already here.
The players, you're saying?
Yeah, the players and the coaches. I mean, for the new head coach, a guy who's coming in, to accept the coaches that he already has on that staff. Like you said, if Jim Harbaugh is one of those guys and he's quietly putting together his coaching staff, then he would bring in a new. He would want Fangio rather than Gus Bradley. Now you're starting over. That's a different philosophy than what you have defensively. Why would you have in place right
I
now?
I brought up an example a couple of years ago when I was covering the Rams. They went from Greg Robinson, was that the defensive coordinator? Greg Williams.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. Greg Williams, the 4-3, 4-3 defense, right to Wade Phillips, the 3-4, and everyone was like, oh my gosh, it's not going to work. It worked. They made it to the playoffs.
They played a hybrid. They played a hybrid 34. It was more of a 4-3 because you had guys that were going to rush. That you had Von Miller and those guys. I mean, you're talking about the Rams.
The Rams.
But
yeah.
You had guys that were rushed. Even when you look at what's his name, Leonard.
He wasn't there. It was basically. They moved Brockers to nose tackle.
That's right. That's it. Michael Brockers.
Michael Brockers moved to nose tackle from a DT. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you had Aaron Donald, and they played him all over the line of scrimmage. And you kind of mix matched at the other defensive end. It was the kid from Philadelphia and Houston. Gosh darn it! I'm
drawing a blank.
But anyway, I'll get his. Yeah. Anyway, and here's the thing: I remember talking to Wade Phillips. Wade Phillips wanted to be the defensive coordinator with the Raiders last year, and I remember talking to him and asking him, "Are there players in place that could play a 3-4 defense here with the Raiders?" He's like, "Absolutely, it could." So yes, it would be a change. But I think that there's players, if they went in that direction. Now, I'm not saying that they will. But by the way, you're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila and by Hador, Raider Nation Radio 920 AM on a Wednesday. Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation in the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.